You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome in to another Film Watch Wednesday and mailbag episode here at Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Here every single Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, covering your New Orleans Saints. Hey, look, everyone else gets to have some fun with mock drafts, so why can't we? Just because the New Orleans Saints season still isn't over doesn't mean that we can't have a little bit of fun and take a look at what kind of value might be sitting around at the end of rounds when the Saints would hit the draft board. Would there be enough talent there to help keep the team competitive? We'll take a look at Dame Brugler of The Athletic's latest mock draft, in which the Saints draft a talent that keeps them in the Super Bowl conversation immediately. Then we'll get to our Film Watch Wednesday, three impactful plays from the Saints win over the Chicago Bears, Michael Thomas's first touchdown since the 2019 season, Marshon Lattimore is on a tear, his deep ball coverage we'll take a look at, and then how the trick play almost worked for Chicago. And finally, your questions to the Locked On Saints Facebook group. What's going on with Will Lutz? What's different about the Bucs? And is this upcoming divisional matchup the most important game in New Orleans Saints history? As always, I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and your Tuesday co-host over at the National Locked On NFL podcast. We got all that and a little bit of Lanyap for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. Everybody else is doing it, so why can't we have a little bit of fun too? It's not our fault that the Saints are still in the playoffs and other teams aren't. They get to do their mock draft Mondays and have a little bit of fun. I say let's have our own fun too, especially after the Athletic mock draft dropped earlier today with Dame Brugler, today being Tuesday. Dame Brugler over at The Athletic doing a two-round mock draft and making two selections for the New Orleans Saints that I think if the Saints were to select in the first two rounds would be the perfect start to a perfect draft. I'm not even kidding. And some of y'all are going to be very unsurprised with the first round pick here, but the second round pick I think is just chef's kiss. Beautiful, perfect collection of a pair of players here. We know that the Saints tend to go offense and defense alternating for the first two picks. This stays true to that. Skill position players. No offensive line or defensive line, so write it off if you want to, but still, this would be the beginning of a dream draft for me going into the 2021 season. So these are two players that I think are very good at doing a whole lot of things and particularly excel in specific areas that are invaluable to the Saints offense. So let's go ahead and start off with the first pick here. Dame Brugler going with the Vegas odds has the Saints picking round one, pick 29 overall. And it's Ohio State wide receiver Chris Olave. Some of you just asked me about Chris Olave in the Locked On Saints Facebook group, and I told you, you're going to hear a lot about this guy, and you're going to get tired of it, because this is one of my favorite selections, one of my favorite players in the draft, and would be one of my just absolute dream scenarios for him to be on the board, and the Saints actually call his name in the first round. It is a wide receiver, however, so we'll see exactly how that works out. Dame Brugler writes that wide receiver is not atop the list of the most pressing needs for the New Orleans Saints, but the Saints are always looking to add dynamic athleticism on offense and have never been shy about drafting Ohio State players. That most certainly is true. So let's talk about a couple of the bullet points when it comes to Chris Olave, a couple of things to know about him. Seriously, really good at just about everything that you have to do as a wide receiver, but in particular, he's an excellent route runner. He sells hard in stems and out of his breaks. He is a threat in the short, intermediate, and deep area. Really crisp and fantastic footwork as well. We've grown to appreciate that watching former Ohio State Buckeye as well, Mr. Can't Guard Mike Michael Thomas himself. He creates a ton of separation with his ability as a route runner, has good hands as well. He can play inside and out. Not really as much experience in special teams, however, especially in the return game, but still provides some versatility in terms of what he can do along the offense. Great field awareness and body control as well. He's not going to be the fastest guy at the combine, but he can outrun some defenders in space if he gets the opportunity. And because of the fact that he creates separation in his routes, he does get that chance every now and then. He's not the type of guy that's going to be able to fight through contact with the ball in his hands, but he will fight through contact at the line of scrimmage. He is great off the line. So again, you're going to hear Olave's name more than a ton over this offseason. Oh, look, Ross likes another Ohio State wide receiver. But hey, you know what? I was right about Michael Thomas to a point, right? I don't think I thought he was going to be this good, but I was also right about Terry McLaurin. So hopefully I can be right about this guy too. He's also 6'1", 188 pounds. So he's basically a slightly taller version and, of course, younger version of Emmanuel Sanders. So he'd be the perfect complement to Michael Thomas as a wide receiver two of the future candidate. Sanders steadily averaged before he got to the Saints around 13 yards per catch throughout his career. Olave would probably be about the same in a more open version of this offense, averaging 16.1 yards per reception at Ohio State, 22 total touchdowns in his three seasons with the Buckeyes. Now, let's jump to round two. It's a defensive player here. Round two, pick 61, Oregon safety Javon Holland. Versatility, tenacity, range, physicality. Those are the four words that I think describe Javon Holland the best. He can split the field with another safety. He can be a single high safety. He can come down and defend in the slot. He's got some punt return and coverage experience as well. Ridiculously smart player on the field, gets everybody set up in the secondary. His diagnose and attack mental processing incredibly quick allows him to get involved in plays that he shouldn't be a part of at all, that he should be out of. That should sound familiar. He has enough speed and functional athleticism to sprint into a play that he was originally not even a part of. Great ball skills and hands, particularly for a defensive player. More than willing tackler, even though he does throw the shoulder a little bit too often for me at this point in his career, but he's a willing engager in run defense. So he's not afraid to get involved down there, and he can make those tackles and get the ball carrier to the ground. Great job filling run lanes and finding pursuit angles in the backfield. He's got experience in man and zone coverage in Oregon and also rushed the passer as a blitzer and did that very effectively. Also 6'1". 201 pounds, however, so great NFL size that matches both his athleticism and his physical play styles. He'd be a fantastic piece to either add to the defense or potentially even come in and maybe replace Marcus Williams if the Saints can't afford to keep him. So I love both of these players getting drafted in this mock draft. Both of them help keep the Saints immediately competitive in 2021 after Breeze, we assume, next year, that the offense probably is going to open up, look to space out defenses a little bit more with the bigger arm of either Taysom Hill, Jameis Winston, or whatever other option happens to pop up before the Saints get started next year. And Olave fits that mold beautifully. Meanwhile, the defense could potentially be replacing a big piece in the secondary with another playmaker. He had 9 interceptions, Javon Holland, as well as 10 pass breakups in the two seasons that he played before opting out in 2020. So here we are talking about potentially getting another piece opposite Michael Thomas, getting another piece in the secondary to help bolster an already phenomenal defense. But of course, the Saints still have a playoff game, more playoff games to play. They're still very much alive in the postseason. So let's take a look at their wild card weekend win against the Chicago Bears. We're going to do our Film Watch Wednesday, break down 3 impactful plays. Then we have your questions from the Locked On Saints Facebook group. Got that coming up for you next here on Locked On Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And even though it's not draft season, it is tax season. And you are unique, and so are your taxes. That's why you got to go and check out TurboTax Live. They have experienced tax experts who listen to you, learn about your unique tax situation, answer your questions. And on top of all of that, they can do your taxes from start to finish. So maybe you've started investing and you want some reassurance from an expert that you're doing things right. Maybe you're somebody that's now self-employed and maybe you want expert advice on what qualifies as, say, a home office deduction, for instance. Or maybe you'd rather just have an expert file your taxes so that you can focus on what matters most, your family, your friends, your home, the things that you need to devote your attention to. No matter what your situation is, TurboTax Live's tax experts can answer specific questions, walk you through the process, review your return right in front of you, or just do it all for you from start to finish. TurboTax Live gives you the confidence that your uniquely you taxes are done right. Intuit TurboTax Live. File with the help of an expert or let an expert file for you.
All
right, family. Betting on the NFL doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks and quick hitting advice to help make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to Locked On Bets, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. All right, y'all. So we're going to be jumping in now to our Film Watch Wednesday. We got three plays that we're going to break down. We're going to start off with Michael Thomas's touchdown. Then we'll go to the sort of trick play reverse throw that the Bears almost scored a touchdown against the Saints on, see what happened there. And then we'll jump to Marshon Lattimore's pass breakup in the third quarter, because he is playing out of his mind right now. So I want to talk about it a little bit. So let's go ahead and get started. First, we'll jump to the touchdown. This is the Saints' second possession, first quarter, first and 10 on the Chicago 11. And this is with 5 minutes and 14 seconds left in the first quarter. If you're following along on Game Pass, you can go and check it out. So we'll start off here. And then once we get to the formation, as always, we'll pause, take a look at it. The Saints in a formation called the shoot formation, which essentially is kind of like a double wing, but the inside guys are offset while the outside guys are on the line of scrimmage. And what you're going to see is both sides of the field are going to run a flat hook concept. So the guys on the inside are going to run a flat, and then the two guys on the outside are going to run a hook. So let's pay attention to the bottom of the field here. You're going to see Emmanuel Sanders run the flat and then Michael Thomas run the hook to come back in. And the reason why this works so well is because this hook flat concept really does well against spacing in terms of allowing your quarterback to see spacing. And it works really well in particular when you have three linemen or three defenders deep. And that's sort of what happens here. You're going to see the two safeties drop back deep toward the goal line, and you're going to see that linebacker that's kind of hovering over the 5-yard line. He's going to sort of take some steps back as well. So he's going to get more depth than maybe he needs. And that's going to allow Drew Brees and Michael Thomas at the bottom of the screen to see the window between the four defenders that are in his area and be able to deliver on the throw and catch. So let's go ahead and roll the film here. We'll see it all develop. It's all going to happen very quickly because that's what this concept is made to do. 1, 2, 3, shoot. Now, once he catches the ball, we'll pause. And then we can see right here, we've got four receivers or four defenders all around Michael Thomas, but they're not going to be able to stop him. He has his momentum and he's able to go back in. So let's take it back just a little bit, just before Drew Brees throws the ball. And what you're seeing, once that's paused, is you see the two safeties that are back. You see the linebacker that has a little bit too much depth. He's already back away all the way at like the 4-yard line. And this is what I was talking about at the end of last week about how important it is for Drew Brees and Michael Thomas to be on the field together again, because they see the field the same way. Michael Thomas knows exactly where this hole is going to be in the defense, and Drew Brees knows exactly where to look for that, and they're on the same page. That's why this play works. He's able to just gun the ball in, and then Michael Thomas is able to take it home. Go ahead and feel free to watch it on the end zone angle if you want to. It's basically the same thing, but you're just going to see just how much space is in between the two linebackers that are settled toward the bottom. And then Michael Thomas is able to punish through the line there. So great to see Michael Thomas get back. That's his first touchdown since week 16 of the 2019 season. All right, we're sticking in the first quarter here. The Bears' very next possession. It's first and 10 on the New Orleans 40. This is prime shot territory here. Once you're on the other side of the 50, it's a great time to take a shot to the end zone. And that's what the Bears are going to do here. But they're going to do it in a trick play. We're looking at 3 minutes, 42 seconds left in the first quarter here. And so this is basically a wildcat formation. It just looks like an offset eye, but it's a wildcat formation. Mitch Trubisky's all the way down at the bottom of the screen, lined up at wide receiver. David Montgomery is going to take the direct snap. And that's Cordarrelle Patterson up at the top of the screen. It's important to note that that's Cordarrelle Patterson, because that's one of the reasons why the Saints defense crashes down in this play. But there's one specific move that Javon Wims makes that sells this entire play and makes it work. And the only reason why this play doesn't work is because Javon Wims can't catch. And that's the only reason. Outside of that, they won on this entirely. So we'll start off here taking a look at the safeties. You've got two split safeties here. On the far side, Marcus Williams. On the near side, Malcolm Jenkins. We're going to watch Marcus Williams on the first playthrough. So just keep your eye on him and watch the way that he starts to crash down, and then how that affects his ability to get back out to the deep, the nine route, essentially, that Javon Wims is running from the slot. He's going to crash down because that's Cordarrelle Patterson. You have to respect the fact that he's probably getting a jet sweep or things like that, before he ends up pitching the ball back to Mitch Trubisky for the throw. So we'll go ahead and roll it. So he gets the pitch. Marcus Williams crashes down big time, and understandably so, because again, that's Cordarrelle Patterson. He's a threat with the ball in his hand. Let's go back to the beginning of the play. Now we're going to look at the other safety at the bottom of the screen. That's Malcolm Jenkins. Watch for the move here that completely sells everything that's going on. Javon Wims, bright orange shoes in the slot at the bottom of the screen, right above the 40-yard marker. He's going to, right off the snap, he's going to go up to Malcolm Jenkins. He's going to put his arms out like he's blocking, and then he's going to swim and then take off down the field. That fake, where he starts to look like he's actually blocking for Cordarrelle Patterson, makes this entire play work. Feel free to watch it again. You know what's going to happen. Direct snap, pitch, lateral. But it's that swim move, that sort of, I'm going to block you, psych, I'm running this route right quick. It's that move that makes this entire play work, all the way down to the point to where Javon Wims didn't look the ball into his hands, kept his eyes up for some reason, and it was unable to make the catch. But everything up until that catch, he executed to absolute perfection. I'm not mad at the Saints for, you know, potentially giving up this touchdown here, because they played this really, really well, did the Chicago Bears. All right, so we just looked at something that the defense didn't do very well that, again, I don't entirely blame them for, but let's now take a look at where the defense did perform very well, particularly Marshon Lattimore and Malcolm Jenkins. This was a really good rep by Malcolm Jenkins. Good job by the Saints defense, passing along a crossing route that you're going to see over the middle by Allen Robinson, and then Marshon Lattimore just playing the appropriate technique to take away a deep pass down the left sideline. So we're on a second and 8 on the Chicago 27 in the third quarter. It's the second play of their second possession in the third quarter after a big, long Saints possession. 3 minutes, 36 seconds left at the snap on this one. Again, if you follow along on Game Pass. So let's go ahead and jump into this one. So once we get here, we're going to pause, as we always do, take a look at the formation. So we're seeing a tight formation here by the Chicago Bears. You've got two tight ends tight to the formation, essentially a pair of wings is what they really look like. And then up at the top, you've got Javon Wims in the orange shoes, bottom of the screen, Allen Robinson. Javon Wims is going to run a route that's basically going to take him inside and then back out. And he's going to be locked up entirely by Marshon Lattimore. And then you're going to see Allen Robinson from the bottom of the screen cross the entire field in a big over route to the top of the screen. Keep an eye on DeMario Davis, who's in the middle of the defense there, probably about the 32. Yeah, about the 32. He's going to get enough depth, and then you're going to see Malcolm Jenkins, who's at the top of the screen near the 40-yard marker, who's going to take away Allen Robinson as he comes across. At the bottom of the screen, but still in the safety position, is Marcus Williams, who's going to play really good coverage here as well. So you're going to see some good technique. So let's watch Allen Robinson first from the bottom of the screen. He's going to sprint all the way across. DeMario Davis gets enough depth, and then Malcolm Jenkins is right there immediately to pick him up. So they did a great job with him. Now we'll skip back, and then we'll keep an eye on Javon Wims. This is where the action happens. So Marshon Lattimore is essentially going to get hands on him as he releases. They're going to go up this up the field, and then as they're coming up the seam, Marshon Lattimore knows that, and sorry, I just keep replaying this, or you can pause it if you like, but Marshon Lattimore knows that he could take the inside leverage on this because he has the safety help to the outside, to the middle of the field. So this is essentially a robber scenario for the Saints defense. Cover one robber, to where Marcus Williams is taking the deep middle safety role. Malcolm Jenkins is picking up the underneath crossing routes. Because Marshon Lattimore knows he can take the inside leverage, he gets himself between the receiver and the quarterback. Once the ball goes up, he's able to make a play on the ball and knock it away. It's just a part of all the communication that you've seen improve across the Saints secondary and Saints defense, as well as the individual talent of these players, including and not at all without acknowledging Marshon Lattimore, who's playing incredible right now and is about to go into another Mike Evans matchup this Sunday. All right, y'all, that's our Film Watch Wednesday segment. Coming up next, we're going to get to your questions from the Locked On Saints Facebook group. Is this upcoming matchup the most important in Saints history? We'll get to that here in just a moment on today's episode of Locked On Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Marshon Lattimore going up against Mike Evans. We know that there is no better bet than that. And if you want all the bets, head over to betonline.ag. There's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust, and that is our exclusive betting partners, betonline.ag. Sign up for a free account today and use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get 50% welcome bonus on top of your first deposit. So you put in $100, they'll bump that 50%. All of a sudden, you got $150 in that bankroll. So you'll be able to go and check it out, hit all of the games of the week, whether you're betting on the playoffs, whether you're looking at college basketball, looking at the NBA, where's James Harden going? You can even bet on where you think his next team might be, where you think he's going to end up. I think it's going to be Philly, personally. But regardless of whatever it is that you want to check out, you can do it all at betonline.ag. So don't sit on the sideline anymore. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to get that 50% welcome bonus for your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Hoota Nation, NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson host Locked On's Peacock and Williamson NFL show every Monday through Friday. Get your picks, previews, and much more every weekday with Locked On's Peacock and Williamson NFL show, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. All right, going to get into your questions here from the Locked On Saints Facebook group. Got a lot to get through, but I want to hit all of them. So let's get it. We're going to start off with Brandon Simmons here. Any news on if they're going to raise the attendance level for the game, seeing as how it could be the final game in the Dome this season? I do not believe so. I think it will still be 3,000 people. At least that is the last that I heard. It's totally possible that they could raise it. I just haven't heard anything at the moment. I also want to shout out Brandon Simmons for naming the bet segment that I started yesterday, Beignets and Parlays. It's the perfect name. It's great. Thank you. Don't change a thing. You're fantastic. All right, let's jump to Brendan O'Donnell. Will Lutz keep his job? Yes, I think he does. They brought in Blair Walsh. They brought in a long snapper as well. Good ideas for COVID to have those guys in the practice squad so you can elevate them in case you have to put, you know, your kicker or your long snapper on the COVID reserve list on like a Friday or something like that. Then you still have a kicker for the game. But also, he's had a little bit of troubles recently. Missed four. I think it's four of the last seven, if I remember correctly, somewhere around there. So not a great performance Will Lutz here recently, but I do think that he is good enough. One of the better kickers in Saints history. He should keep his job. Joshua Farner, of the teams left, who do you think is the scariest matchup for the Saints? I'd probably see the Los Angeles Rams. Interior pressure, good secondary, number one defense in the NFL. That's probably the one, but I'm not too worried about their offensive side. I honestly think I would pick the Saints all the way through until the Super Bowl and then see who they match up with there. Kansas City, I'd probably still pick them. Buffalo, I'd be a little bit more averse to picking them. I'd be a little bit more concerned about that matchup. But at this moment, I think that the Saints, as long as they're healthy and playing up to their standard, they could take whoever's in front of them. Up next, Sabra Hess. Who would you like to see the Saints go after in the draft? Funny you should ask. Chris Olave, wide receiver out of Ohio State. Let's get to Hunter McKinney. I know that it's going to be tougher for the defensive line to get to Brady with Ali Marpet back, but how do the Saints fare against Kappa the last game? And do you think that it creates an advantage? They're going to be going up against a backup guard. I do think that there's going to be another advantage there going up against a backup guard. When it comes to Kappa, two pressures allowed in the first game, two pressures allowed in the second game. Not a ton of success against him, but still good enough to get some pressure regardless. It's really Donovan Smith, the left tackle, to keep an eye out on. He allowed a sack and four pressures in the first game, six total pressures in the second game, especially if Trey Hendrickson is able to get back. He's day to day. They're going to get him into practice and see what the stinger, his neck injury, is like throughout the week. If he holds up throughout the week, then he should be back on the field this weekend. But we will see. He's the big matchup to watch with Donovan Smith on that left tackle spot. Eric Swiler, in this game, knowing the circumstances of who the Saints are playing, what's at stake, not just the organization, but for Drew, is this the biggest game in Saints history? I don't think so just yet, because there's already two games after this that would immediately supersede it. So I think that lessens this value. If the Saints move on from here, then they have the conference championship, which would be more important than this past game. If they move on from there, then they would have the Super Bowl, which would be more important than that. Then I think that that Super Bowl would be the most important in Saints history. I still think that right now it's the rebirth game. Even just bringing 73,000 fans, bringing us back to the Dome after everything that we had gone through in New Orleans, I think that that is one of the most important things. I know I'm looking back to it at it on hindsight now, but even at that time, you could feel the weight of it and how important that return to the Dome was. Andrew Cummings, who does CJGJ fight this week? I maintain that it's going to be Antonio Brown. Some people think it's going to be Tom Brady. I think it's going to be Antonio Brown. Tomas, in the last two games, the Saints were able to get big pressure rate numbers when it came to Brady. What was the main reason behind this? And how are they able to ensure another good performance in this game. So one of the reasons why they were able to do it is because they were getting pressure with four rushers. I want to say four rushers because they used a lot of three down lineman sets in the first game, and they would blitz one of those other safeties or linebackers. So they would get pressure with those four and then drop seven in coverage. In the last game, they were like strictly four down linemen, getting pressure with the four down linemen and dropping back into coverage. So I think that that was a big part of it, was just them being able to win their one-on-one matchups. And then in the first one, being able to send pressure from a bunch of different question marks in terms of where they're coming from. In order to do that again this week, they're going to have to pull some stuff out that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers didn't see in the first two games. So that's what I would be looking for this one in order to maintain pressure. And then, of course, good solid coverage downfield inherently allows you to get some of those coverage sacks, move Tom Brady off of his spot, all the things that are very effective against them. Danny Curley asked, looking at this matchup, wouldn't it be more beneficial to put CJ GJ on Mike Evans? We know how his temper is. No, I'm going to keep Marshawn Lattimore on Mike Evans. I see what you're getting at, though, but I'm going to keep Marshawn Lattimore on Mike Evans. That is a matchup that Marshawn Lattimore excels in. I'm going to put CJ GJ in the slot, keep him where he is, probably matching up mostly with Chris Godwin, who he's allowed only two catches for just over 10 yards against so far this season, and then watch the fun matchup while Antonio Brown is on the outside up against Janoris Jenkins. And we know Antonio Brown, of course, can move into the slot as well. Joshua Johnson, over under on how many times the announcers will mention the two ages of the quarterbacks in this game. I'll set the over under at 5. Y'all let me know. You taking the over? You taking the under? Maybe I could set it at 42. That is going to be Drew Brees' age by the time we get to that game. Anyway, Stephen McCary, will Brady shake Brees' hand after the game, win or lose? If it's a loss, no, I don't think so. I think Brady's straight to the locker room if he loses this one. I really do. If he goes from never being swept by any division opponent to losing to a division opponent three times in a season, I think he's going home. He's going straight to Giselle. They're out of there. Next, we'll get to Michael Murray. Do you feel that having Nick Easton on the offensive line solves the protection issues or at least helps? I do think that it helps, but remember, Nick Easton's on injured reserve with his third concussion of the season, I believe, so we probably won't see him back this season. Kenori Cunningham, with the changes the Bucs have made since we've played them last, how can we generate pressure? I think that it's that same thing. Just show them something that they haven't seen in those previous two games, so that find ways to get blitzes from different areas, a little bit of CJ GJ blitzing going on, a little bit of safety blitz action going on, things like that, or just win, baby. Just win on that defensive line. That's another way, of course, to do that. That's why you cross your fingers for Trey Hendrickson to be back in this one. And then finally, Fernando Albino, how's your mom and them? They're good, family. They're good. I appreciate you asking that question. I appreciate all of you asking your questions. And I appreciate y'all, as always, for being here. Don't forget, tomorrow's episode is our crossover Thursday episode. Myself, David Harrison of Locked On Bucks, starting to preview the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game up against the New Orleans Saints. Saints will host them for the divisional round and hope to move on from that game, knocking them off for the third time this season on their way to a conference championship matchup. We'll have that coming up for you, and then our Film Friday as we break down the Bucks on Friday as well. I thank you very much, as always, y'all, for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust you, that nation. I'll holla at you.